to think, except either suddenly they kind of took some wonder drug that changed them from these big kind of scaredy cats into these people that were going to go into the world and make up this great big con story about this guy called Jesus who actually died, but no, he didn't really, he rose again, and he's fooled billions and billions of people for the last 2,000 years. That has to be the truth. Or is it that they met with Jesus, who had died, who had paid for their sins, who had risen again, who had met with them over a period of 40 days in all kinds of different situations and places, and eventually had ascended to be with God up in heaven? And I know which one of those I believe. For me, it can only be the second one there. And then so we come to Peter, stood with his friends in the middle of Jerusalem, surrounded by foreigners who are hearing their own languages being spoken, and by others who are laughing at them and saying, they're drunk. And Peter says, first thing, we're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And I kind of like that verse, because is he saying, if it was 10 o'clock, we might be. But I don't think so. 9 o'clock, it's too early. He proceeds to quote then from the book of Joel. Now, some of you may know I'm a teacher. And the other week, a 13-year-old in my class took great delight in telling me that the Old Testament was a load of old rubbish, and he'd written this in his RE exam. And of course, he's entitled to opinion. But this led me to think, what do we actually know about the Bible? So I'm going to give you a little pop quiz now. Okay, I'm going to give you a number. We'll play this side against this side. And you have to tell me how the number relates to the books of the Bible. It's only for fun. There are no prizes available. I'm very sorry. Okay. So we'll start with... Shall we go here? Yeah? Right. 66. 1-0 to this side. Very good. Okay. Nice, easy one to start. 39. 39. Ooh, do I take your first answer, Margaret? Sorry. I'll forgive you. Old Testament books, 1-1. 27. Mr. Trini, not allowed to say anything at this point. You did the last one. 27. Not my age. Sorry, Rosie? New Testament books, very good. 2-1, excellent. Okay, gets harder now. I'm very sorry, guys, you've dipped out here. It did a bit, actually, yeah. Yeah. 5. And there are 2 possible answers here. One's, I'll be kind to you, one's Old Testament, one's New Testament. That's not what I've got. It's fairly near the beginning, or very near the beginning of the Old Testament. Yes. 5 books of Moses called the Law or the Pentateuch. Was that the same thing, is it? I'm sorry, Tim. Okay. 2-2. Two, two.
You get an extra point.
No. You lose a point for showing off. New Testament, anyone? 5. 5. Very near the beginning of the New Testament. In fact, at the very beginning of the New Testament. Yeah, I'll give you that then, David. Okay, so it's called the New Testament Narrative or New Testament History. There are 5 history books in the New Testament. You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and the Book of Acts are kind of historical accounts of what happened at the time. So that makes it 3-2, I think. Okay, let's go 12. You guys have really dipped out. Two possible answers again. No, it's 2 books of the Bible. Come on, Luke. It's in there somewhere, I know. No, this is both Old Testament. Oh, who said that? Oh, brilliant. 12 minor prophets, okay? In the Old Testament, we have some, what are called the major prophets. Their books are very long, Isaiah and so on. Okay, then we have lots of minor prophets, 12 books. Joel is one of those, okay? 12 in the Old Testament. Sorry? Yeah, there's kind of 12. We've got New Testament narrative or history, and we've got Old Testament narrative. Oh, I'm impressed. Very good. Okay. I'll give you a point for that one, just about. So I think it's a draw. So I have to go to a sudden death. All right. Whoever calls out the first answer wins. Right, here we go. One.
God.
Books of the Bible, Tim.
One book called Genesis.
No. Oh, I missed the three here. Very good. One, apocalyptic literature. And what is that book, David?
Revelation.
Exactly. Okay. So, Bible, in case you don't know, means book of books. It's made up of loads of different types of books. We have history. We have poetry. We have wisdom. We have all kinds of stuff. And here we have history in the book of Acts meeting a minor prophet, as Peter quotes from something that was written hundreds of years before by the prophet Joel. And in fact, there are, apparently so, I haven't counted them all, hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus. So, Joel, Peter begins to quote from him. Now, an Old Testament prophet usually predicted about future events. Stuff, some of it, still hasn't happened even. Stuff hundreds of years in advance is going to happen. The New Testament narrative, just as we think we know about Alexander the Great, we know about the Romans landing in Britain, we know about all kinds of other historical events that happened because people wrote it down. We don't debate it or doubt it. There may be some kind of some arguments between different historians, if you like, but we accept it. This is a historical account of what happened in Jerusalem all those many years ago. It's a historical event mentioning an Old Testament prophet. And I've got some quick points about what Peter has said. The first one, God says, I will pour out my spirit. God is a God of pouring. He's not a God of the trickle or the dripping tap. He likes to pour. He likes to overflow. And I think we in the Western world, we've just got something wrong, haven't we, really? Okay? He wants to pour, but somehow it doesn't seem to quite happen for us. But Peter says, I will pour out my spirit. And this is the main difference between Christianity and all other world religions. God promises his spirit to come and fill us, to live inside us, to give us the power to be different. It's not about us trying our best and feel guilty because so often we fail miserably to do things right. Second point, verse 17 and 18. It says, your sons and daughters, will prophesy. Now don't worry. It's not about you predicting things that are going to happen hundreds of years in advance, okay? We have the Bible now. That is God's final word. But on the screen, hopefully, I have a definition of what Peter means here by prophesying. The spiritual gift of prophecy, so it's a spiritual gift, is listed among the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:10 and Romans 12:6. The Greek word translated prophesying or prophecy in both passages properly means to speak forth or declare the divine will, to interpret the purposes of God, or to make known in any way the truth of God, which is designed to influence people. It's a very posh way of saying it is our job, whether we're in school, college, work, home, to tell people what God thinks. We have enough people telling us what is right and what is wrong. It is our job to say, well, actually, this is what God says. We need to tell them why Jesus is the only way of salvation. We need to tell them, how do you get to heaven? For more kind of social issues, if you like, we need to say to people how you should be using social media. What sort of films should you be downloading and watching? How do you behave as a young person in modern Britain today? It is our job to tell people what God says about all these different issues. It's hard. I'm glad I'm not young anymore. You've got gender issues coming up, sexuality, sex before marriage, all kind of really tricky issues. We need to find out what God says, and we need to prophesy or speak those words out to our friends and our neighbours and our colleagues. And a very important point here. Now, we hear about a spiritual gift in 1 Corinthians again. It talks about words of knowledge, and it talks about words of wisdom. And we should expect God supernaturally to speak to us when we're in trouble, to give us the words to say. But there's really no substitute for knowing what he says in here, really. We need to look at the Bible and we need to know what God says about all these different issues. Verse 17, this is my third point, talks about seeing visions and dreaming dreams. Proverbs 29:18 says, if you have no vision, the people will perish. It's very important we know where we're going with our life. What is the direction that we should be walking in? What decisions should we be taking about all different kinds of things? And society at the moment is very fond of saying, follow your heart. Dream your dreams. You can do or be anything that you want to be. And it sounds really great. Statistically, it's probably not true. Otherwise, the Premiership would be full of millions and millions of young football players who wanted to become professional footballers. Did you know that 0.012% of young boys who are signed up or play in a kind of a club structure at football actually make the grade to Premiership or to professional football? I found a survey that said in 2014, in the acting world, lots of people nowadays want to be actors, nothing wrong with that. 75% of them earn less than £5,000 a year, and only 2% earn over £20,000 a year. Follow your dream by all means, but it's going to be a tough road to go on. Now, am I just an old bitter cynic? Am I trying to destroy your hopes and your dreams for the future? Maybe I am. But also, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So when we are being told, and you as young people, and even older people like myself are being told, follow your dreams, follow your heart, do what you want to do. God says, well actually, did you know your heart is deceitfully wicked above all other things, above anything else in the world? Because sin is not just something we do, sin is our condition. And it, by nature, we look to go away from God rather than going towards him. So what does God say about our visions and our dreams? I think the first thing for us, and as young people, find out what God wants. And we do that by asking him, talking to him, talking to other people, getting their advice, getting their wisdom. What about your education, future jobs, marriage or singleness? Should you live in this country? Should you immigrate? We are created by God and we know he knows what we enjoy and those things that are best for us to do. And it's very likely that all those thoughts you have about your future are from God, which is fantastic. But you need to check it out with him just in case. Proverbs 3:26 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Trust him. Acknowledge him. And he will, not maybe, he will direct your paths. And then once you know that you're on that path with God, dream big for him. Have good ideas. Have visions. See people being changed by you. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work in us. God has poured his spirit out into us. That power is there. Let's tap into that. And finally, my fourth point, God is in control. Who's the most famous dreamer in the Bible that we know of, probably? Joseph. At one point, his life was a mess. He must have been thinking, why have I been sold into slavery? Why am I in prison? Why am I being accused of adultery? What's going on in my life? And maybe at the moment, you've had exams and they've been hard. Maybe at the moment the workplace is a difficult place to be. Maybe you're not sure where you should go. And my final point, God is in control. When Joseph was going through all that turmoil, I don't know what he felt. My brothers have sold me, given me away. But eventually God had his hand upon his life and God got Joseph to that place where he wanted him to be. And because of that, probably millions and millions of people were saved. because he provided food for the whole of Egypt. So the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles, God will pour out his Spirit. He has poured out his Spirit into our lives. He wants us to have visions. He wants us to dream dreams. And he wants us to know that he is in control. So I'd just like to pray as I finish now. And if you, or any of those things are relevant to you at the moment, just ask God to meet with you. It talks about the people pouring out onto the streets, speaking in tongues. If you've ever wondered about the gift of tongues, maybe you really wanted it. It's available to you. If you want to know about your future, God wants to show you and talk to you about where he wants you to go and what he wants you to do. He wants you to dream those dreams for him in accordance with his will. And if you're not sure at the moment that God is in control, he is. He has his hand upon your life and he wants to get you to a place where he wants you to be. Can I just ask everyone to stand just for a moment and we'll finish with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you that Peter quoted from Joel. And by Peter quoting Joel, he was saying, this is what God has said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And I thank you, Lord, that we are here today and we are asking you to pour out your Spirit into us and onto us. Lord, we are asking that you would make it clear to us which way you want us to go, the decisions you want us to make about our future education, about our future employment, about future marriage, about where we live, who we live with. Lord, I pray that you would speak clearly to us and show us, if we are in doubt, where you want us to go. Lord, I pray that you would help us to dream big for you, because you can do immeasurably more than we hope. That whatever field of work we end up in, that we would dream big for you and we would see you moving in our lives and touching and changing the lives of the people around us. And Lord, if at the moment we're in that place where we just think things are spiraling out of control, maybe we've had a bad set of exams or we think they've gone badly, Lord, I thank you that we are not defined by our exam results. We are defined by you, and you say that we are your children. And you are our Father, and you look after us, and you will take care of us, and you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I pray that if anyone is in doubt about that, you would give them a clear vision for their way ahead. And Lord, I also pray that if anyone here desires that gift of tongues, Lord, I thank you that Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you, Lord. And if Paul says it, it must be a really important gift. Doesn't make us a Christian, Lord, but it must be a very important gift. And if anyone, Lord, is after that gift now, that you would pour yourself into their lives by the power of your Holy Spirit, and you enable them to move into that gift in a powerful way. And Lord, I pray now that as we worship and praise you some more, that you would come and you would meet with us. I thank you that you do live within the praises of your people, and you would bring healing and deliverance and vision and purpose tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And just, like, if you do want to talk to anyone or pray with anyone after about any of those things we've just talked about, feel free to grab Tim or David or myself or John or Sam or anyone you feel comfortable with, really. Thanks, Sam.